pilots are frustrated and angry. They understand that jobs will have to be cut. They don't believe that they're immune from the problems across the whole of the North Sea and the whole of the oil and gas industry. But the way in which the redundancies are being undertaken by the managements in Bristow and CHC are not helpful at all. There seems to be no creativity about ways in which pilots could be helped to find other jobs. The terms for people being made compulsory redundant after they've invested £130,000 to become a pilot are miserly, and there is insufficient recognition given by the helicopter companies into the experience levels when people are being chosen to be made redundant. So it seems that experience and is not recognised by the employers, and that's a worry for long-serving pilots.
So pilots kind of who have given their lives really to serve as pilots feel like they're just being left high and dry?
That's a strong message that came across in our survey. The word cull was used, and it felt like a cull was taking place amongst helicopter pilots, and a number of the more experienced ones were talking about feeling worthless as a result of what's been happening, and that they were being thrown on the scrap heap. So there were some very powerful testimonies given in the survey by pilots about the way that they're feeling at present.
I mean, obviously, we've seen thousands of jobs go from throughout the industry. Do these pilots, did they feel like this wouldn't happen to them? Has this come as a shock to them?
No, I think that they all recognise that the fall in the oil and gas price is going to follow through. They have been concerned for some time now about the way in which contracts are let in the North Sea, that the American and the Canadian owners, the two big helicopter owners, are being squeezed by the oil and gas majors into providing savings. And it seems that no sooner have they offered one set of savings than the oil and gas companies say, well, you manage that saving, you can surely manage another one. So it's been salami slicing. So this has been a growing area of concern, but the way in which now a quarter of pilot jobs have to go in the North Sea has become a shock to the community at large.
And obviously your biggest concern is also safety. How could this affect the safety of pilots and the helicopters in the North Sea?
It's an unfortunate byproduct, and it's taken us a bit by surprise, but perhaps it's not surprising that what people have been reporting is that the conversations that predominate now in the crew rooms before a flight are about, well, who do we know is up for the chop? And on the flight deck, it is something that's always in the pilots' back of their minds about, well, might I land and find I haven't got a job? What's going to happen with the mortgage? I've just spent £120,000 to become a pilot. How am I going to pay that loan off? Am I going to go down to the job centre and find another job when everyone knows that there's only one helicopter vacancy at present in the whole world, and that is in Equatorial Guinea? So there is a real preoccupation with all of this, and it is distracting, and it is a cloud that pilots are hanging over them. And as we go into the winter season, there's a real concern that this preoccupation could impact on people's concentration and therefore on flight safety. Now, we're quite sure that the helicopter companies are not indifferent to this issue and are as equally concerned, and I think we need to be working, the pilots, ourselves as a professional association, the helicopter companies and the regulator, to say, well, how do we manage this? And how do we raise it with the oil and gas companies? Because ultimately, they're the clients, but our customers are the passengers. And the last thing we want to do is to see this impacting passengers and being a cause for their concern. So we've got a job of work to do, not only in solving this industrial dispute, but also ensuring that we continue to make every flight a safe flight.
So what's the next step then? For those that don't know, how do you carry on now?
Well, we have meetings planned on Monday and Tuesday with the respective managements, and I've this morning written to the two chief executives raising these issues of concern that have been expressed by members, and been quite clear that in the event that we can't find a satisfactory solution, that there is a willingness on a very strong vote and a very high turnout to take strike action. It's not what we do. We haven't had a strike in the Pilots Association since the late 70s, so it's not something that happens every verse end. So it's a signal of how serious we're taking it, that people have been willing to express that view. So we'll be seeing company management Monday and Tuesday. We hope that they will listen. We hope that we can get some movement. We hope that strike doesn't become necessary. But in the event that managements don't budge, the next stage would be that we go to our National Executive Council, our board that that has the governance responsibility for overseeing this in the early part of September, and they'll make a decision as to whether we can go ahead and have a formal ballot for strike action under the law.